The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Colossians chapter 1. We're in the consideration of verses 24 through 27. Page 31 of your notes, where we will resume. After we take the usual time to get ourselves ready spiritually and otherwise for the concentration on the information to be presented this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We thank you for our position in Jesus Christ, for the hope of the gospel, and for this information that we are considering. May it become a part of our spiritual frame of reference and our capacity and appreciation for what is laid out for us in your plan. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. The quota for sufferings for the body of Christ in the angelic conflict over the course of the church age, once fulfilled, will conclude the dispensation. Paul does his part, and he does this on behalf of them and on behalf of this long-range objective on the part of God. As the head has suffered in time, so the body of Christ suffers in time, and we share the same glory and the same blessing with regard to enduring under the truth all the kinds of things that we suffer. The Apostle Paul himself made a considerable contribution to that end. Then he continues with the church, which is the subject of verse 25. Of this church is understood here, of which church, back from verse 24, keeping up with his line of thinking here, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. In other words, he was given an assignment in the plan, and that assignment was to be a servant under the category of apostle, a servant, and this was bestowed upon him. And again, he adds, for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the word of God. All right, to that regard, carrying out the word of God in this regard refers to the fact that he is the was the primary and main, but not only, articulator of this mystery, beginning in verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and generations, but now has been manifest to his saints. All right, in that regard, on page 31, we were discussing the term mystery or secret. Something that is hidden out of the view of people. Mystery is used in a variety of ways in the New Testament. It is used, the verse that I couldn't find, it was right in front of me, was 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 in point 43. That, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. There again, I believe that is another one dealing with mystery in the sense of the privileged hidden dispensation that you and I happen to be a part of. as believers. This is a really big deal. This is not some insignificant, as if anything was in the Word of God, but this is a major thing, a major development to be a part of the body or the church and the hidden mystery of it. Now, having moved into this, point 45, it is used in a similar fashion in 1 Corinthians 4:11. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Also 1 Corinthians 13:2 and there, you know, the chapter dealing with love, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Another use of it, 14:2, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. 1 Timothy 3:9, in other words, hidden information brought into the light. That's the idea in these verses. 1 Timothy 3, verse 9. An address to deacons, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And 16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And this, the way this is structured here suggests, and there, these pop up from time to time, there's perhaps was a part of a Christian hymn. He was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And great is the mystery of godliness, related to the person of Jesus Christ. All right. This term is used of the current dispensation in which the Gentiles are accorded a standing equal to and even superior to that of the chosen people of Israel, which anyone who studies the Bible knows that they were put in a particular special category due to the call of Abraham, the covenants that they were privileged to be a part of in that dispensation. But in Romans 11:25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Now here, the mystery is clearly related to their place in the plan of God as over against Israel's place in the plan of God under their dispensation, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial, that's important, hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles refers to their wonderful opportunity due to their place in the dispensation that was made possible because Israel failed. Israel dropped the ball, so to speak, and would not pull it together. So, you know, it's like a shift, and we move into the new dispensation. It is used, the term mysterion, is used in connection with the resurrection of church age believers, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. And of course, this is a part of the total doctrine of the church. Her origin, her history, her nature, and her final, the end of the age, I'm going to say. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That is a euphemism for death in this instance. But we will all be changed. And then he talks about the event of the resurrection, of the rapture. That's the, you know, the upward call, meeting Christ in the air, et cetera, et cetera. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. Okay. Now, moving on. It is used in connection with those who are at the forefront of the New World Order. Various terminology used for it. Satan's push with his people to overthrow the divine institutions and establish this New World Order and the secret societies involved therein. There are people that are completely and totally dedicated to this movement to establish and undermine what God has set up on the planet. Second Thessalonians here. Which will have its final manifestation in the Luciferian cult of the Antichrist. It'll be out in the open Luciferianism. It won't be hidden or obscured by people. And this movement will result. This has been operative even in Paul's day in the secret societies and individuals who are of this kind of a bent, seeking to establish a different order of things. Their influence has been very detrimental and is right now in human history to the general welfare of the human race. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, this is technical. This is not for general lawlessness and misbehavior on the part of people. It is the mystery of lawlessness. Mystery, does it not indicate something that is hidden? The impact of, in human history, of secret societies of various kinds, all interwoven. Governments should have risen up against this stuff and really invoke serious penalties upon it. But they didn't. They let it operate. It has had a big impact on American history. One presidential election in the past involved the Masons and various things were coming into light. You can go back and study it. They are the ones who seek to reinterpret everything, control everything, infiltrate both sides, and to do their thing. We've seen the dire results of this, what they call globalism, internationalism. All these things are not an accident. Organizations like the Trilateral Commission, founded by David Rockefeller and others, that organization, and all these people wind up being in the high positions in every administration. Look at their logo. On and on this goes. It's everywhere, right down to the local level. So this mystery of lawlessness. Why do we have a Justice Department today that's promoting LGBT? Lawlessness. These people have infiltrated in the high places. And they want to promote more of this kind of immorality and lawlessness as normal. It is Satan trying to overturn and destroy all the divine institutions from number one through number four. Nationalism is a relic. needs to be done away with. It's why we have all these problems and people buy into this. The UN, all of it. It is promoted by these people. You go back in time, there was a courier who was struck by lightning on a horse carrying these papers of the plan in Bavaria, the plans of the Illuminati, and the authorities got their hands on it. And in their paper it sounds just like communism. Abolition of private property. Abolition of the family unit. Redefining marriage. All of it was in there. That is a complete attack. And they banned these societies. They just go underground and go off somewhere else where they can operate. It is truly the synagogue of Satan. No Christian should have anything to do with this. And we can't get away from it in the world. It's there. It affects us so much. And money's behind it too, because money, you know, corrupts, and we can control your academic institution because we give you funds. It's all very entrenched. And only Jesus Christ is going to be able to put it all down and set things right. But anyway, he calls this the mystery of lawlessness in a context dealing with the rise of the Antichrist. Because that comes up. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already operative. He isn't talking, again, about general human sin nature behavior. He's talking about something that is defined. These people constitute a small percentage of the entire human race, yet they have this influence and power. They foment wars. They're the ones that, you know, their motto, out of chaos comes order. We create the chaos, and then we get the order that we want. Did not Bush 1 talk about a new world order and 1,000 points of light? He's one of them. Where's this, you know, where this political deal? He's one of them. Every president lately signed off on all this NAFTA and all this stuff. Look what it's done to American workers. Outsourced it. It's a plan. Of course, people like it because we can go overseas and make our products and send them back over here. And I have to pay all these taxes. Various things go on. So there's all these things that induce people to do this. Many people have written about it. There have been honorable men who have written about it. There was one, Robinson. They tried to invite him to join their club. I was watching that thing of a comedian and talking about, you know, and he uses a lot of bad language, but he says, there's a big club out there and you're not in it. You know who I'm talking about. He's deceased now. He said, no, I'm not in it. He doesn't have nice things. They sell you all this stuff. But Robinson wrote a book, Proofs of a Conspiracy. Oh, you're a conspiracy guy. Yeah, bet I am. Satan exactly wants to put that down, so I want to be a part of any conspiracy thinking. They are quite involved. And the very fact that we will not recognize it allows them to do what they do. And a big part of it in the Catholic Church is their henchmen called the Jesuits. Society of Jesus. Sounds real, you know, religious and harmless, doesn't it? No. They're assassins and infiltrators. There's whole colleges that are Jesuit trained. So the whole thing, that's where it's all moving. It's a big contribution to why we're in the last days. If you rip that all out, it'd be a whole different world. This mystery of lawlessness is already at work, Paul says. Only he who now restrains. Who's out there restraining? God, the Holy Spirit, I presume, is the subject here of the one who restrains. But whether it's him or one other member of the Godhead, he who restrains. Yeah, they have their setbacks and their frustrations. But they don't stop. Why all the occult stuff in places like D.C.? Why all of this symbolism? Why all this Masonic stuff? Hidden societies and their operation, the Brotherhood of Darkness. This is already at work. And the whole idea is to bring the human race to worship Lucifer and to follow his deals, his ideas, which are all opposite in every way. All this stuff we're being shoved down our throats, all this stuff we've been bombarded with, come from these sources. Global warming. They got an agenda. Reduce the world's population. Vaccinate everybody. Yes, there are people out here exposing aspects of it, but the average person doesn't, you know, care, so they just go on their way. But it's in your face. It's there. And this, that's why they have an EU. It's right there, a European Union. And it's not working real well for the European people, and the average European doesn't like it. If they all voted on it, the EU would all just collapse, EU would all just go by the wayside. It's forced down them. With all these multitude of regulations and all this kind of stuff that's going on. These things are not accidents, people. The leaders and people in high places are sold out to this. Sold out to it. They owe their position to it. And it affects everything that we're practically exposed to. It contaminates stuff. So, anyway, he who now restrains, only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Now, of course, the church is supposed to be, she's failed in this regard, she's supposed to be the salt of the earth. The average Christian today, believer, legitimate believer, is not salt. So when this restraint is taken off, they'll be fully into the tribulation. Then that lawless one will be revealed. They want a guy. They want a pseudo. They want their Messiah, their man. You know, it's the unholy trinity concept. They're going to get their unholy trinity. The world's going to have to deal with it. Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Some think, I think the current pope's a false prophet. Well, he's got a lot in common with it. He says all this stuff, that isn't even a lot of it isn't even in Catholic interests. He's, of course, a one-worlder, believes in evolution, etc. Can't wait to baptize a Martian. He said that. Okay, it was tongue-in-cheek. Because this is a part of what's coming. Extraterrestrials are coming. UFOs are out there. And what it is, basically, is demons being allowed to mess with idiots. And they can put on quite a show and look like anything. I mean, read about angels in the Bible and their powers. And the human race is going to get this full blast. They're going to have to explain things. They're going to have to explain the rapture of the church. They're not just going to roll over and say, oh, the fundamentalists were right after all. The president, you know, the leaders of the countries, they're not going to come out and say, yep, that really was right. It was the rapture. We've examined it. And it's our duty to serve our population and tell them the truth. We were wrong. The rapture occurred. No, they're going to have some big elaborate explanation that negative volition will just love it. It won't add up like so much stuff. It will have these holes all through it, but hey, that's okay. We're the press. We can handle this. We can put any kind of spin on this stuff. We've seen it, haven't we? They control the media too. They got to. If they don't control the media, they'll get out there and they'll put the truth in front of people and they'll be, you know, lynched. These people. So what do they do? We've gotta buy up back in the day. We gotta control the biggest newspapers. We gotta get them in our pocket. We got to get the academic institutions in our pocket too. So they'll all teach evolution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In our form of medicine, in our form of whatever. And yes, there have been men, true patriots, those are the true patriots, who have spoken out against this stuff. But they're lone voices. They were clear on it. They stood before Congress. They explained why the Federal Reserve System was the greatest monopoly on earth, and it is unconstitutional and a complete mistake for us to sign off on this thing. We did anyway. Because they own these people. The creature of Jekyll Island. Europeans and Americans. Financiers. We always had this problem with the bank and all through our history. They created boom and bust. Oh, we need a central bank so we won't have that any of these problems anymore. No sooner than we got the Great Depression. And we've been on this roller coaster ever since, sucking the wealth out of the nation. It is a phenomenally wealthy nation. It hasn't been easy to destroy it. They're working on it. All these programs, all this stuff. And of course, the current president-elect is going to set it all straight. Right. We might get some breathing room. We're going to turn all this around. Might bring some of these things down, buy us some time. The latest international trade deal apparently is dead. The British revolted against the EU thing by a referendum. Other European nations are in trouble right now, economically and so forth, and there's this whole thing's going on. Again, what I rejoice in is that Jesus Christ controls history for his purposes. Yes, he allows these evildoers to run amok to a point. That's an area you need to pray in constantly. God will protect us from these psychopaths. That's what they are. If you've never met a psychopath, you know, you might saw one portrayed in a movie. That's one kind of, that's a psychopath. He's an average, he's just in the street. Talk about them that rule over people. They'll say anything. Lying is their forte. They were born liars. They bought into this for power and greed. That's why so many people are on board with all this stuff. It's where their paycheck comes from. So they had to control everything so they could mind control all of us. 24/7. Because they have to have a compliant population. They got to be able to scare people into things and do things. This they've been planning. There's a tremendous amount of documentation out of their own mouth. I got a whole list of quotes from one of the presidents that gave in to him and regretted it in his memoirs. And he was a very intelligent guy, humanly speaking. You can tell by the way he writes. And he talks about these people. All right? It was President Wilson. And his alter ego, Colonel House, who was the inside guy. And they used him in his thing. It's a sad thing for a man to say, I believe I betrayed the American people, my country. Whoa. But that's just in a book, and that's what he said. That's what he did. They had him. You know, he liked his position. He wanted his position. And he had a mistress, big deal. But back then, we won't expose any of this. They got all these people. There's so many of these people blackmailed. They're doing far more worse than having a mistress on the side. Oh, it's worse than that. They got him. They got him where they want him. This is the world we live in, and I haven't even begun to do justice to how bad it is. He will be revealed, the lawless one, and we have solved the mystery of the Antichrist. And I think I've solved the mystery of the false prophet, but time will tell. I am 100% comfortable that he is not a contemporary of the times. The two prophets aren't Moses and Elijah, obviously. The Antichrist isn't, obviously. And so why would he be? Because both he and the Antichrist, they get captured alive by Jesus Christ, the second advent, and they're thrown alive into the lake of fire, and they're the first people to be inducted into the lake of fire. That's a little odd. Well, they've already been in hell. So they're not going to go back there. Satan even isn't put in the lake of fire until after the Gog and Magog revolution. He's put in hell. He gets 1,000 years spent in hell where everybody can badmouth him. Yes, it's in Isaiah. Oh, here he comes, the one who weakened the nations. Did he ever? His assault on the divine institution of nationalism. Been very effective. But guess what? The nature of nationalism is it survives. Maybe they'll find out in Europe that, you know, it was really good to have those European nations. France and Germany and Italy and Belgium and all the rest of them. Maybe it really is a good idea. But these evildoers, they want us just to be some big melting pot that's homogenous, bring us all together. We don't like distinctions. Satan hates culture, race. God's established these things. He didn't like it. They want to break all these things down. And look at this mess with regard to the approach to sex, the sexual deal today. I mean, it makes the sexual revolution of the 60s look like nothing. They're talking about, well, I don't know, maybe I'm half woman and half man. It's just insane. Some guy wrote in that rag called the New York Times, the most preeminent, arguably, newspaper in the United States. If you read the Times. A guy wrote an article in there and said, pedophilia isn't a crime, it's just a disorder. It was in there, it was an editorial, it was a deal in their paper. It's just a disorder, you know. So I guess all these crimes are just disorders. Poor people. It is the elite who is bringing these things into mainstream and acceptability. That which was anathema and criminal and immoral. And all. Now they're bringing it in and they're introducing it as... And if you object to it, you're guilty of hate. Everything's flipped, obviously. I don't have to tell you that. So what's left? I think there was some guy in Congress called DeLay or something like that. He was talking about, we got a disturbing memo from the Department of Justice. The 12 things that we need to consider as not wrong or bad. Well, they had bestiality and pedophilia on the list. Well, this is logical. It's logical. If you're going to go for LGBT, then you need to add some more letters. So what's the deal? All this flap we had about, well, you know, you can go into this place, and if you feel like you're a woman, you can, and you're a man, you can use the female restrooms. And you hear it in high schools and schools around some of this craziness.
and parents wanting operations on small children to change their sex. Well, not that they can, they just mutilate them. And you go, what kind of people are these? What kind of leaders and people can countenance this stuff? Well, I didn't mean to bum you out today. But I did, didn't I? It's proof again, we're at the dead end. This stuff cannot go on much longer. So out of this is going to come the Antichrist, and he will seek to change laws and everything. It reminds me of the French Revolution, which we were misinformed about in our deal. We thought it was some just awful royalty that just, you know, that and everything. No, it was the secret societies that got that thing going. And it was a bloodbath. And Napoleon came and put it down with force. Whatever he was, he put it down. Ended it. They wanted to change the number of days in the week. Anything God has set up, let us change it. If you study the details of the French Revolution, the secret societies were involved with, the Jacobins and these clowns. Some of our founding fathers talked about these people and what they were. This was not a positive revolution. Another manifestation of the mystery of lawlessness, and so was communism. The rise of communism didn't rise out of the Russian street. He will be revealed whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. The one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Tribulation will have this polarization. And many people will be swept up by this charismatic individual who will get a lot done quick. And they will adhere to him because they do not want the true and living God in their life. So they will buy this thing. It's funny. It's going to come out that we're worship. That's the top, the elevated top on the capstone on the pyramid that's not down on top of it. It's raised up. The eye. That represents Lucifer. That's for the Masons and all. That's the light. The light. So, again, it got on our dollar, didn't it? Why this symbology all over our dollar? They're real clever, too. They're good at what they do. They know how to influence the masses and deceive them and delude them. It's very powerful. Pray that God will liberate you as much as possible from all aspects of that. We can't get away from, you know, the inflation and various things of that nature. We operate in the world, but we can be wise as serpents, harmless as doves in all of this. So that's the way this word mystery is used there. Now, here and elsewhere in Paul's letters, it refers to this current dispensation. In verse 26, this mystery refers to truth once hidden from the past, ages, dispensations, and generations. Remember, there's so many generations in human history. And only now, definitive word, noon, has been revealed to the saints. You Colossians are on the inside track. They've come along. They learned this. Wow, we are of the mystery dispensation. The mystery, it's no longer a mystery. In other words, it has now been out in the open and revealed. See, I don't think nobody knew about this except God. None of the angels knew about it on either side of the aisle, the elect or the fallen. None of them knew about this. They don't have what God had up his sleeve for this new dispensation. The most anybody knew was that Israel was going to fail miserably with regard to their Messiah,
and that God was going to get another chosen people. Whoops. Yeah, but he made these long-term promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. So how can he throw them overboard permanently? Here's the key. He sets them aside temporarily. Individuals within that group can come to saving faith and be in the new, but he's going to get a new people of God. Hosea and Moses both revealed this. But who they were was anybody's guess. And it was just a guess. Most people think in terms of some other race within the Gentile world, rather than all Gentiles potentially, out of all the Gentile nations. This new body of Christ will be formed. It does not exclude the Jews, if obviously Paul's in it, all the Jewish believers, but they are not accorded as Israelites only in the flesh, but spiritually your church age, royal family. Obviously it's predominantly made up of Gentiles due to the Jewish negative volition that is so long term. But it's going to turn around too, of course, in this time that we are familiar with. So in the following verses, Paul says the same thing. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able, as he signs off in this letter, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret, perfect passive participle, it's the verb to be silent, sigao, has been secret from long ages past, Ephesians 3:9, and to bring to light what is the dispensation or administration of the mystery which for ages have been hidden in God who created all things. That's God's big secret. He kept it. And the cat was out of the bag when he revealed it to people like Paul and he began to articulate it. The angelic conflict just lights up. The angels learn about it for the first time, not from God directly, but through the communication of men like Paul. Well, maybe it's old hat to us, but we understand the significance of the church age and our place and the great privilege of being in this dispensation. Certainly this does not refer specifically to the gospel, as it was revealed from the Garden of Eden forward. The nature of salvation, the way of salvation, the means of salvation was revealed to the first fallen members of the human race. So it wasn't the gospel that's been hidden, obviously, the way of salvation. It is the significance of the salvation adjustment in terms of this new age that we are now have been in since 33 AD. So Paul was the one who was the primary instrument of bringing this mystery into the light, Ephesians chapter 3, here. He says this, 3 and 4. I should read 3 as well. He, again, talking to these believers who he was familiar with, that by revelation, I'm reading verse 3 of chapter 3, there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. Oh, you wrote another letter before Ephesians? Yeah, well, apparently so. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, just as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What? To be specific. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, the instrument of salvation, the message, again, which he says, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Verses 8 and 9. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration, the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. I have noticed that there is among certain fundamentals a real hatred of dispensationalism. There was the Scofield Bible that articulated. Oh, Scofield was a drunk. Oh, that scares me off. Right there. First of all, I didn't check out if he was. And secondly, what's that to have to do with him teaching us? Now, there were hyper-dispensationalists, which I do not agree with. There's always, you know, people going to another extreme. There were hyper-dispensationalists. There's books on dispensations. If you don't see the different ages, I can't help you. I really can't. If you think things were the same between Adam, for a believer, average believer, if you think things were the same from Adam until Abraham, and then during the age, things were different in the age of Israel. That's when Israel came into the fore. Through the patriarchs. And they were God's special people, chosen people, on the earth as the custodians of truth to the nations. And if you were a Gentile, yes, you could be saved. You could grow spiritually. But you weren't Israel. Unless you became a proselyte and joined up with them. So the covenants and the promises were made to Israel. Oh, there's a hatred of Israel today on the part of people. That nation in the Middle East, they're all unbelievers. They're not even Jews. And we go on and on with these morons. There may be pseudo people. If people are posing as Jews and they're not Jews, then what are they? Then what are they? They're not aliens. They're not angels. They're Gentiles. They'd be Gentiles, wouldn't they? Some group of Gentiles. The people in the Middle East, whatever their problems are, they're Jewish. There may be people in there that are posing as Jews. I don't care. God will sort those people out. It's the nation of Israel. Live with it. And yes, they do a lot of harm, and they're in the occult, and they got Masonic stuff all over in their capital city. What do you expect? They've left God, so what are they bought into? But God's going to root out all the unbelievers and the true Israelites, and they're going to come to salvation. And all these people that have bad mouth, God says, I'm sick and tired in Ezekiel of the talk of the nations. About that land being the promised land. Not being the promised land. And poo-hooing the whole idea and all the rest of it. Don't be sucked into that crap. If there's any tendency on your part to do that, go that way. You'd be wind up in anti-Semitism and not even know about it. And against God. God established that nation in unbelief. Live with it. He didn't wait until they came to Christ. And then we'll get you back there. I'm not doing this for any righteousness that resides in you. But for my name's sake. They are maligning my word, which promises to the Jews in perpetuity the land. And all the covenants and everything related to the Jewish thing. The Israelite thing. I mean, there's so many dumb people running around, I can't believe it. It's just one of those battles you have to fight. If you're going to fall into it, they're going to fall into it. Oh, it says in the Bible, Jesus wasn't a Jew. Oh, please, come on, for God's sakes. He's a descendant of David. Was David not a Jew? And then all this whacked out stuff that you got out there. Sorry. It's my job to have to, you know, deal with all that and hear all that crap. I taught you that the nation would be established in unbelief. Because God told Ezekiel it would. And that he would drag them out of all the nations to which he scattered them. And haven't we been seeing that? And to the leaders of Israel, are they a bunch of real squared away dudes? No. And Ezekiel said, you've got these Jews, they're bullies. And he called them a flock. And they're the ones that muddy the water for just the average Jew. That just wants to live his life and, you know, do his thing and be Jewish and whatever. But no, they got the same problems we do today. They got corrupt leaders. The Jews have fallen into every kind of evil thing that Gentiles fall into. Because without doctrine, you've had it. You've had it.
A lot of the early Jews, they were the leaders in the communist movement in Russia, not Russians. They were Jewish. And we know about the Jewish bankers, don't we? The House of Rothschild, the Red Shield, and all that business. Anyway, and of course, in the church age, the Jewish nation gets a restart. 1948. No accidents happen. God fulfilling His plan. So, 54, it is a great mystery. And it concerns Christ and His relationship to His people in this dispensation to the church, age saints, Ephesians 5:32. This mystery is great. It's a mega mystery. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate that you are a church age believer, royal family of God, and make the most of it by being positive and growing and getting yourself where you need to be. You will not be disappointed. But I speak concerning, prepositionize, Christ and the church. The church is a step up from Israel. It's a step up, and Israel isn't any chopped liver. Okay? It's a step up. We should not get arrogant. I don't have any bad feelings about the Jews. I deal with them just like the Bible says. You know, I don't have any bad feelings about them. You know, but you have to call what it is. And as Paul, they gave him, Paul's a Jew, right? But he's church age believer. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Well, what's that mean? I'm not a Jew anymore? No, you're still a Jew, but it's neither Jew. We don't consider you. We don't look at you through that lens. We're in a different dispensation where that is a non-issue. You are a church age believer, whether you be Jewish or any other version of the Gentiles. You have no advantages because of your race anymore in this dispensation. Things will flip back, and there'll be some, you know, the millennium will be another thing, and all the rest. But then but the church still will always have this distinction. As body of Christ, the new, super chosen people, you are a chosen race, Paul says. He calls us, Peter says, you are a race. And it's not based on the usual genetic things, you know, German, you know, Asian, whatever. It's not based on that. So it is to appreciate what we have relative to this current dispensation. So because some people didn't teach dispensations or some other doctrine for a long time, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. It should be each doctrine should be examined on its own merits. That's why all these people run around today trying to live in the age of Israel. Well, I like that. Here's the dietary code. Here's this. There's the Sabbath law deal. Let's do that. Blah, blah, blah. That's one of the things that the Colossians were afflicted with. People, do not touch, do not eat, keep a Sabbath day. Do the new moon thing. Do all of it. We don't have to do any of that. I have all the scripture backs it up. They have no holidays that are specified for us. Well, I want a holiday. I want my own special. Can't you live with it? No authorized holy days in this dispensation. That's the way it is. And that means all this other stuff. There's certain people I have to keep reminding them. You know, look, we're not under that. It's fine for you to read the Old Testament, but don't get in there and think, oh man, I got to do this and this and this and this and this. Under the covenant of Moses dealing with the ritual code. You're not under the ritual code. So don't put yourself under it. But throughout all the church age, they're all doing they're doing parts of the law, the parts they like. Make any sense? We're not under that code. Well, it's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. It sure is. Guess who that was given to? Israel from Mount Sinai. It was their weekly Sabbath. We're not under that. Find one verse in the New Testament where Paul is critical of the Gentiles. Now, you need to keep the Sabbath. While you're at it, you all need to be circumcised. He fought that battle with these people. And we continue to fight it. But we're glad to fight it. And glad to live in the freedom Christ has given us and follow the dictates and the marching orders that are germane to this dispensation. Morality is the same. Salvation is the same in all the dispensations. How you get to maturity is the same. That's the same. But some of the particulars are not applicable. I didn't know that in a Baptist church. I don't know about you. My mind was blurred with all this stuff. I didn't have anybody articulate this. But I've articulated for you, so I have a clean conscience. I articulated it for you. I pointed out that the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, was not observed until Israel came out of Egypt. Adam didn't observe it in the garden. Though God rested on the seventh day, he didn't say, now you've got to rest on the seventh day. He didn't tell Adam that. It's a good idea to take a day off in the week. But it wasn't by law, regulation, and dictate. You follow who you follow. You know, that's the way it is. Like I always say, we'll see. So we are a royal family. Salvation is the same, as noted in point 53. But in this dispensation, it confers an exalted status on believers. Union with Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're stamped with this. We're members of the royal family of God. We are a royal family. Bride of Christ. Exalted to share in Christ's royalty. And this carries with it certain privileges. We don't have to go through that awful tribulation. We get to go be with the Lord in the third heaven and be a part of the seven-year celebration as we stand around our resurrection bodies after getting our SG3 rewards. And then there's a ceremony, Revelation 19, we're married to Christ, and then we come back with Him on white horses to the second advent. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten positive volition in Christ's name. Amen.